Hey everyone, welcome back to the Haunted Corner. I'm Ashton. I'm glad that you're here today. Thank you so much to everyone who has reached out to check on us in the last week. We've truly been going through it. It turns out my son will need surgery on his arm, so that's coming up on Wednesday of this week. Keep us in your thoughts. We're super thankful that he's getting his arm fixed up and hoping he will be good to go for football season this year. Last week was quite the week, though. A broken arm, a broken dishwasher, and then on the way home from my son's pre-op appointment, he and I were sitting at a stoplight when we were hit by a snowplow. Fortunately, they just broke my side mirror, so it could have been a lot worse, but we could not seem to catch a break last week. But alas, I'm back this week with a story that deserves to be told. This was shared with me by one of our amazing Patreon supporters. Thank you so much, Wendy. In typical Ashton fashion, I had never heard of this case. So today we're heading to Indiana in 2011 to discuss the murder of a young woman named Amanda Bach. Let's get into it. Amanda Alexandra Bach was born on July 7, 1992, in Crown Point, Indiana, to parents William and Sandra Bach. She also had a sister named Sarah. According to those who knew her, Amanda was a vibrant and loving young woman who enjoyed running, hiking, and playing basketball. She graduated from Portage High School in May of 2011 and worked at Quaker Steak and Lube in Portage at the time that this case occurred. She planned on attending Indiana University Northwest the following year. Now, Amanda previously dated a man named Dustin McCowan. The two had since broken up, but remained friends and had decided to hang out on Thursday, September 15th, 2011. Amanda left her house around 10 o'clock p.m. that Thursday, saying that she was going to visit a friend, but her parents knew that it was likely that she was going to spend time with Dustin. Amanda didn't come home that night, and when she missed her 1 a.m. curfew, her parents reported her missing. When her car was found abandoned at a Dean's convenience store around 3:25 a.m. on Friday, a massive search was launched. The hazard lights were on, the driver's side door was open, and the front tire was flat. It had a puncture wound in the tire wall. Amanda's purse and its contents were found inside the car. But noticeably missing was Amanda's cell phone. Family and friends, including her co-workers at Quaker Steak and Lube, put up flyers hoping to get the word out about her disappearance. Over 100 people showed up to search for the missing teen. Police interviewed Amanda's family and her ex-boyfriend, Dustin, who claimed that Amanda had been at his house from 11 o'clock p.m. Thursday until 1:30 a.m. on Friday, and that they had been playing video games and watching a movie, but she failed to send him a text message when she got home, as he requested. So Dustin was admittedly the last person who saw Amanda alive. Following his interview with police, Dustin left for Bloomington, Indiana. He was taken into custody on Friday, September 16th by campus police at the University of Indiana. He was transported early Sunday to the Porter County Sheriff's Office in Valparaiso. On Saturday, September 17th, 2011, around 3:45 p.m., Amanda's body was found by a search party near a railroad track less than 300 yards from the home where Dustin lived with his father. She had been shot in the neck. Dustin remained in custody on suspicion of murder while awaiting the results of an autopsy. The autopsy revealed that Amanda died of a single gunshot wound to the front of her neck, which severed her spine and killed her instantly. Fortunately, they said that she did not suffer. It was very fast. Dustin was charged with Amanda's murder and held in custody without bond, all the while maintaining his innocence. A funeral for Amanda was held on September 23rd, 2011. Family and friends gathered at Nativity of Our Savior Catholic Church in Portage to remember the young woman who they described as an amazing person and a total sweetheart. While family and friends were sharing their fondest memories of the young girl whose life had been taken so senselessly, detectives continued their search for evidence in the case. There was no DNA evidence, and the murder weapon had not been found, so investigators were focused on finding it. Tracker dogs assisted in the search for evidence and covered 2.5 miles of road between Dean's general store, where Amanda's car was located, and the railroad tracks where her body was found, attempting to retrace the suspect's steps. A dive team searched a pond nearby along with the area where Amanda's body was found, but investigators were unable to locate the murder weapon. In the days following the murder, they did locate an orange long-sleeve shirt nearby the McCowan home, which contained Amanda's blood. Now, what we might not have discussed yet is that Dustin's father was a Crown Point police officer at the time this case took place. Despite his father's protests, police searched the McCowan home. They also confiscated his father's police car following the murder in order to process it for evidence. They also took his service weapon along with other weapons found in the house to compare them to the murder weapon. But wouldn't you just know it, one of his guns was missing. Police continued to interview witnesses and neighbors. An unidentified girl told officers that she was with Dustin between 4 a.m. and 7 a.m. on Friday, the morning of the murder. She also claimed that Justin went for a short ride with his father in his squad car after he had come home from work. One of the McCowan's neighbors had something darker to share. Linda Phillips said between 1 and 2 a.m. on the night Amanda was murdered, she heard a male voice say, "Amanda, come on, get up. Amanda, get up." And then she heard what she believed to be a female voice saying, "I can't believe this is happening." Another witness came forward and claimed that he had seen Dustin. He called him a Justin Timberlake lookalike or something, which I chuckled at. But he claimed he saw Dustin around 2:30 a.m., the night of the murder, walking down the main road between the store where Amanda's car was found and the McCowan house. The witness was 100% sure that the person he saw was Dustin, which was interesting because Dustin told investigators he was at home the entire time. He was also texting friends during that time, telling them that he was at home, even agreeing to go hang out with a neighbor, but he never showed up. Dustin McCowan was held in custody without bond, and his trial was scheduled to begin in January of 2012. Now, the prosecution didn't have any physical evidence in the crime. The murder weapon still hadn't been found, but they did have quite a bit of other evidence. During opening statements, prosecutors said they had evidence that proved McCowan shot Amanda Bach with his father's missing gun, then dragged her body to where it was found. During the investigation, detectives used GPS technology to track Dustin's cell phone to the area where Amanda's body was found between 1 a.m. and 3 a.m. on September 16th. Authorities believe she was killed between 1 a.m. and 2 a.m. on September 16th, 2011, and that her body had been dumped a day before it was found. Bloodhounds were also used during the search for evidence, and they traced Dustin's scent from his house to where Amanda's body was found at the railroad tracks. The defense took another approach and attempted to pin the murder on a search party member who discovered Amanda's body. His name is Nicholas Procno, and he suggested that police officers look around the railroad tracks where his fiance had seen young people congregate. Nicholas said that on September 17th, he approached Valparaiso police officers who were searching in Wheeler and mentioned that his fiance and he had talked about the area and thought police should know. While looking with police, Nicholas followed a path of trampled plants into bushes and found Amanda's body. The defense said that this was proof that he had planted her body there because he found it so quickly. That was all they had, really. Many witnesses were called to the stand, including Amanda's parents. Her mother reportedly urged Amanda to get away from Dustin. Sandra Bach claimed that she and Amanda had spoken on several occasions about her relationship with Dustin. Sandra claimed that he was emotionally abusive to Amanda. She claimed he became jealous when Amanda became close to one of their mutual friends named Brandon. Though he claimed they weren't dating, they were really close, and he felt like she was coming in between him and Dustin. Another witness at the trial was a man named Charles Wade III, who said Dustin had told him, while they were locked up together, he was concerned about police discovering blood and gunpowder evidence in connection with Amanda's death. Dustin said he accidentally struck Amanda in the nose on the night in question while reaching for her cell phone, and some of her blood may have dripped on the carpet of his home. Dustin also reportedly told Charles Wade he was getting a sweatshirt for the blood, and the sweatshirt may have gunpowder residue on it from him shooting earlier while wearing it. Like, that, the math is not mathin', Dustin. Another inmate named Daniel Grenhard testified that while serving time at the jail, Dustin told him and at least one other inmate that he had shot a female. Now on to Joseph McCowan, the father of Dustin McCowan. He told jurors that he discovered a .38 caliber five-shot revolver missing from his home on the day Amanda's body was found. He said he had the Smith & Wesson gun since 2005 or 2006 and had last seen the loaded weapon under the couch on September 12, 2011. An FBI firearm examiner testified that the bullet removed from Amanda's body was of the same design and cartridge as cartridges turned over by Joseph McCowan for the missing gun. But it was also stated that the bullets could have been fired from a few different types and makes of guns in the .38 caliber family. Dustin's trial lasted 3 weeks, and before it was over, the defense had presented 11 witnesses, while the prosecution presented 43. The jury headed into deliberations, and it only took them 6.5 hours to find Dustin McCowan guilty of murder. He was sentenced to 60 years in prison. Immediately following the murder of Amanda Bach, the Porter County Sheriff's Department also began investigating Dustin McCowan's father, Officer Joseph Elliott McCowan, for his possible role in hiding key evidence, including Amanda's cell phone, the gun, etc. In April of 2013, though, the Porter County Sheriff's Department discontinued its investigation of Officer McCowan. Amanda's parents, Sandra and William, filed a lawsuit against Dustin and his father, claiming that Joseph McCowan didn't properly secure his firearms. A settlement was eventually reached, but there's no amount of money that can ever make it okay or fix what happened to Amanda. The Amanda Forum, which is a youth dating violence prevention project, was formed following her murder. And that is the story of the murder of Amanda Bach. Just so unbelievably tragic and unnecessary. Thanks for tuning in today. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Thank you so much, Wendy, for sharing this topic with me. If you have a topic you would like me to cover on the show, please send it my way. The sources for today's episode will be listed on the blog post for the episode at www.thehauntedcorner.com. And that will also be linked to in the show notes. Check out the other episodes of The Haunted Corner, available now wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts, with new episodes dropping every week. If you're enjoying the podcast and would like to share your support, head on over to Patreon. You'll have access to the exclusive Patreon-only episodes, early and ad-free access to the regular episodes, plus a lot more. Head on over to patreon.com/thehauntedcorner to join now. Follow us on social media at The Haunted Corner on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. If you're enjoying the podcast, be sure to tell a friend and rate and review wherever you listen. That really helps the show. If you have a case suggestion or a correction to share, please send it to thehauntedcorner@gmail.com or submit it through the website. Check out the new food blog at thehauntedfoodie.com. And until next time, be kind and take care of yourselves and each other, and we'll see you soon. Bye.